2 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 14. We'll read 14 through 19. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's 2 Kings 19, 14 through 19. I won't pray again audibly, but I'm praying as I'm standing here asking God to help me and help you and us to hear the word of God. Hezekiah has received a letter from a messenger, and the author of the letter is a king of Assyria, the king of Assyria. His name is Sennacherib. He says, essentially, I'm coming for you. You might as well give up. I've whipped every nation I've come against. I've taken them over. These are my words. They had gods, but their gods were no help. And he said, in your God that you worship is no help to you either. I'm coming for you, and I'm going to take you over. And that struck fear, brethren, in Hezekiah. Backing up just a little bit, let me just say, brethren, you may be familiar with this. I hope you are. But this account, brethren, is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 19 and follow 18 and 19. It's also, brethren, in 2 Chronicles, just FYI. It's in 2 Chronicles, and it's also in Isaiah 36 and 37. It's odd. It's odd that this same account is in three different books of the Bible. Interesting. But one thing I take from that, brethren, if it's in three books of the Bible, the same account, I imagine God is saying, you might want to read this and learn from it. You might want to pay close attention to this. So there it is. It's in three different books. It's almost word for word in Isaiah. Same account. Hezekiah is the king. He's the king in Judah. There have been mostly good kings before him, but there have been some bad ones. The idolatry is rampant in his country, and when he takes over, he's 25 when he takes over. Let's see here, if I can find it, I'm not sure if I can find it. It's 18. It came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, he was the son of Ahaz, he was king of Judah, he began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. That's chapter 18, 2 Kings, verse 2. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in Judah, and that's where the kings of Judah ruled, in Judah. He did, verse 3, that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 4, he removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves. He actually did something very interesting, brethren. The brazen serpent, the brass serpent that was in the wilderness, he took that and broke it in pieces. And some say he ground it up to powder. Well, it was a good thing, wasn't it? Turn around. It was a good thing when they were in Exodus, the people were bitten by serpents, and if they looked on the brass serpent, they were healed. But by this time, brethren, the serpent was still around, but the people had made an idol of that thing. You see how a good thing can become an idol? I've got some things in my life that are really neither good or bad, but sometimes I make an idol out of them, and you can too. I got some money in my pocket. Well, actually, I don't have any cash today, but I got some money in the bank. It's neither good or bad. It's good. It's for good for things, but it can become an idol to me. Anything that we have can become an idol. And this brass serpent, brethren, had become an idol. And the godly king of Judah took that brass serpent that was so revered and such a help to the people of God in the wilderness, and he broke it all to pieces because it had become an idol. There's a hymn in our hymn book that says, I can't think of the name of it, but it says, "The dearest idol I have known, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." That's the words of one of the hymns. Whoever wrote that hymn, God led them, I believe, by the Spirit to write that, to teach us things can become idols. People, children, grandchildren, children, spouses can become idols. Money, anything can become an idol. So in an act of wisdom and power, this king took that serpent and he broke it up because the people had begun to worship it rather than the one true and living God. He did great. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Verse 6, he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. And then verse 7, it says, brethren, do you remember a while ago I said, if we will worship the one true and living God and obey him, we will experience fellowship and communion in the kingdom while we live. As a result, brethren, of what Hezekiah did in service to the one true and living God, verse 7 says, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. He was a prosperous king. He was a godly king, and he was therefore God prospered him. Jan and I, most every morning when I wake up and we wake up, I pray before we get out of bed. And one of the things I often pray for is, Lord, prosper us today. Prosper us. You know, I don't have any business asking God to do that if I'm not willing to obey him and do what he wants me to do. I'm wasting my breath. But I think it's a reasonable prayer if I'm out there trying to serve him, that he'll prosper our efforts, make us prosper spiritually and otherwise. So, brethren, there we have Hezekiah. There he's a godly man. He's doing exactly what God would have him to do. Time rocks along. I think he was in his 14th year of his reign. Yeah. Verse 13 of chapter 18. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. That doesn't include Jerusalem, but it's some outlying cities in the geographical area known as Judah. Sennacherib from Assyria, one of the greatest powers, probably the greatest power other than Israel or Judah, in that part of the world was Assyria at this time. And the king at this time was Sennacherib. And he says, I'm coming for you. You know what he did, brethren? Before he came for Judah, he came for Israel. He came for the 10 tribes. Do you know, brethren, that you won't find a nation today known as Israel that's composed of those 10 tribes intact? They got taken away. Judah, some years after this, Judah would go into Babylonian captivity. But just before this, we're reading about Sennacherib came from Assyria and he took Israel, those 10 tribes. They're in captivity at this point in time. And Hezekiah witnessed that. He saw it. It happened. It says Assyria came up against Samaria. That's Israel. That was their capital. And besieged it. This is verse 10 in chapter 18. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, they took it. Samaria was taken. Israel, brethren, is gone at this point. And Judah and Benjamin are left with their godly king. And now this godly king, brethren, and his people, they get word Assyria's coming back. They're coming for us now. Well, long story short, when we jump to the end, they didn't. They left. They left without Judah. Sennacherib left, and he didn't take Judah with him. Now, some years later, the Babylonians would come when Judah turned away from God, and God said, okay, Babylon, they're yours. They went into Babylonian captivity. But this is before the Babylonian captivity. They've got a godly leader, and they're generally serving God. So, brethren, though we serve God, we're going to have trouble. But you know what? I'd rather have trouble and have God with me than have trouble and not have God with me. And these people right here, they got God with them because they got a godly leader. So let's look now at the verses, beginning with verse 14 in chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 14. Sennacherib has sent his representative, and he has stood outside the wall of Jerusalem, and he's called up to the children of Israel on that wall, and the officers of Hezekiah, and they say, "You better surrender. We've whipped everybody so far. Their gods are no good to them, and your God is no good to you, and we're going to get you too." That's my words. And so a little time passes, and there's trouble back at home in Assyria. The king has to go take care of some of that. There's another battle front there. So he sends a letter now. He sends a second message, and this is in the form of a letter. And he hands it over, and he says, "You better surrender." And Hezekiah now gets the letter, and that's where we begin our lesson for today, brethren, in verse 14 of chapter 19. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. That's what he did. That's what you and I need to do, brethren, when we have trouble, when we get bad news, when we get a threat, when we get bad news from any source, brethren, we need to take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Look at verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. This is his prayer, brethren. O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims. That's where God manifested himself in that day, brethren, in a wonderful, special way, in the temple, over the Ark of the Covenant, where the cherubim stretched forth their wings toward one another. That began in the wilderness when God made that tabernacle, and it continued on to the days of Hezekiah. Thou art the God, verse 15, you are the God. Even you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. That right there, brethren, do you know how Hezekiah was able to say that, brethren? There were kings that preceded him. There were kings in Israel that preceded him that would not say that. Do you know that? Do you know how he knew that, brethren? God had manifested himself to that man. Do you know how you can say that God made heaven and earth? Because he's made you to understand it. He's made me to understand it. I didn't learn it in a book, brethren. He taught me that. I learned it in the Bible, but not a secular book. God makes us aware of who he is and what he's done. Now the petition. Listen, verse 16. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. I heard a fancy word the other day. You know, Jesus says in the New Testament, God is a spirit. So does God have ears? Does he have eyes? There's a verse that said, God looks at all that's happening, his eyes to and fro in the earth to observe what men are doing. Does God have eyes? I heard a Bible teacher say the other day, no, he doesn't have eyes. He doesn't have ears. He's a spirit. But this same teacher said this, we use anthropomorphic terms. Now, I don't try to use big words. I don't know that many, but I just remember the man saying this, and he said, all that means is you're giving human descriptions. We're using words that humans, we can understand to describe the one true and living God who's a spirit. So when Hezekiah says, Lord, bow down your ear, he doesn't have an ear like we have. He doesn't need that, but we describe him like that to help us understand. So Hezekiah says, bow down your ear, open your eyes, Lord, and see, and hear the words of this king of Assyria, Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. He sent his messenger, Lord, to reproach you. Verse 17, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. Hezekiah says, Lord, he's right. He has destroyed the other nations around us. They've taken them over. They've whipped them all. And now he's coming for us. Verse 18. He has cast their gods, you see that with a little g, into the fire. How was Sennacherib, brethren, able to cast those gods into the fire? He answers it. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. That's how he was able to do it, because they were idols. They were false gods. And he could come against them. If he had more men and more chariots, horses, he could whip them, because they had puny gods. They had false gods. I heard it described one time, dunghill deities. That's what they were worth. They belonged on the dunghill. But Hezekiah in verse 19 says, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand." Save us, Lord. That's his prayer. "That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." A scripture that I like to quote, and I quote it often, is from the New Testament. And it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Scripture is given to us, brethren, for doctrine, to teach us about God and his ways and his will, for reproof, to straighten us out, for correction, to get us on the right way, and doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in the right way. When I read this prayer of Hezekiah, it reminded me of that verse. He says this, "Save us, Lord, that the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." And I say, brethren, study the scriptures that it might teach us of who you are, God, that we will know that you are the God of the earth, the doctrine of God, the correction, the reproof, the instruction in righteousness. So as we study this scripture today, brethren, I hope that we'll look at it and compare our lives. And are we living in such a way that when trouble comes in our lives and we pray, that God will open his eyes and look at us and see our situation? He knows all. We're just putting it in terms that help us understand. Will he listen, brethren? Will he hear our trouble? Will he acknowledge and will he answer? God, brethren, is going to answer this man. And I believe he answered Hezekiah for a lot of reasons, two of which are this. One, Hezekiah had been serving God. He loved God. He'd been trying to do what God would have him to do. And God loved the people of Hezekiah. He loved Israel. They were his people, his chosen people. And he loved the city of Jerusalem. He chose it. He said, "I'm going to manifest my presence there. My name is going to be there. My temple is going to be there." So God, brethren, answered this man's prayer. There is an example, brethren, of one, even though you are a godly man or woman, you're going to have trouble. Another example is you need to be living a godly life so that when trouble comes and you pray, God will hear your prayer. James, in the book of James, it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." This man was righteous, wasn't he? And I tell you what, it was a fervent prayer. It said when he got the letter, he headed to the temple, brethren, and he went up to the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord. He laid it out right before God and said, "There it is, Lord. See what he's doing? Help." He says, "Save me." Brethren, when trouble comes in my life, it is not pleasant, but it is certainly comforting when I can say in good conscience, "Oh Lord, I've been trying to serve you." It's come at times, brethren, I've had to say, "Lord, I'm sorry I hadn't been serving you. I'm sorry I've been serving me. Help me anyway." That's a guilty man's prayer right there. But when I've tried to do right, it's not so bad to come before God and say, help me, Lord, hear me." There's his prayer. Now here's the answer, brethren. In chapter 19, verse 20, look at verse 20. Chapter 19, 2 Kings. "Then Isaiah," that's the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, "sent to Hezekiah saying." Now, was Isaiah in the temple? Was he listening? Did he hear this prayer? We're not told that he was. And I would guess that he wasn't. I'm guessing that the word of God came to Isaiah and God said, "Go see Hezekiah and tell him this. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." I've heard your prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? to see a man, how he's living and what he's trying to do. And trouble comes and he goes straight to God and puts it before God and fervently prays. And to read that God sends his man, his prophet, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament probably, and says, go see him and tell him what you prayed, I've heard. I've heard your prayer. And God, brethren, is going to bless him. Verse 28, chapter 19. Last phrase, about the middle of the verse. I will put my hook in thy nose. He's talking to Sennacherib now. And my bridle in thy lips. I will turn thee back the way by which thou camest. He says, Sennacherib, I'm sending you home. Verse 27, I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in. I know you, Sennacherib, and I know you're raging against me. But Sennacherib, brethren, is raging against the wrong one now. He's come up against the one true and living God. God says, I'm going to put my hook in your nose. When I was a boy, we had cows, and sometimes we see a great big old bull. We never had one, but we see a big bull with a ring in his nose. I asked my daddy one time, I said, why they do that, daddy? He said, that's to get him to go where you want him to go. He's big. He's powerful. But a man puts a ring in the nose of a bull and he gets him to go exactly where he wants him to go. God says, I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips. You put a bridle on a horse, make him go where you want him to go. Make him stop. Make him go. Make him turn. I will turn thee back the way by which thou camest. God says, Sennacherib, I'm sending you back by the way that you came. Now, verse 32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come into this city. Isaiah is saying through God, he is saying to King Hezekiah, he will not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there. This is verse 32. Nor come before it with a shield, nor cast a bank against it. In those days, the city wall was high. They had lots of time, lots of men. They'd take buckets of dirt, haul them up to the wall, build them a bank against it, a bridge to get over the wall. God says, that is not happening. Now, verse 35. Here's the fulfillment of it. And it came to pass that night that the Assyrians, hundreds of thousands of them, are camped outside Jerusalem, besieging the city. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000, a score is 20, 40, 60, 80,000, plus 100,000, plus 5,000, 185,000, died that night, Assyrian soldiers. And when they arose early in the morning, the ones that were left, behold, they were all dead corpses. Lost his army, didn't he? So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. That's a kind of an understatement, isn't it? He decided he could go home now, verse 36. And went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, verse 37, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that's a god with a little g, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, get this, brethren, his own sons smote him with the sword. And then they escaped. What an ending for big guy from Assyria. What an ending. Because, brethren, God delivered his man, his people, his city. Now that's a history lesson, brethren. It's also a spiritual lesson. But there's the history of it. But now, Hezekiah's kingdom was preserved of God. He survived that crisis. How did he do it? Brethren, because he was a man of God and he was living like he ought to. He was worshiping the one true and living God. He was serving God. And when trouble came, he took it to God and he prayed to God. And God, in his sovereign will, delivered him. Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and his kingdom were spared. God has made us kings and priests unto God. Revelation tells us. You and I are kings. Let's look at it this way, brethren. Trouble comes to the good and the bad. Trouble comes to us. In this world, you will have persecution. There's one thing that I left out. Bear with me. Here it is. when the trouble first came to Hezekiah, it's in verse 18 of verse 14. Trouble came when the first message came to Hezekiah to surrender to us, give it up, we're coming after you. You know what Hezekiah did? He messed up, brethren. He compromised with evil. When the first thing, rather than trusting in God and refusing to give in, it says that the king, he said to the king of Assyria, "I have offended." He begged his apology when he'd done nothing wrong. He says, "Return from me, go away." This is verse 14, chapter 18. And he says, "I'll give you whatever you tell me to do, I'll do." He shouldn't have done that, brethren. Should have never done that. No man or woman of God should ever compromise with evil of any kind. Verse 15, Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid. He gave it to the king of Assyria. That's sad, brethren. Shame on him. Because you know what happened? He came back. Sennacherib took that, but he wanted more. He came back later and said, "I want more. I want you and I want your city." Let me say to you, brethren, when you compromise with evil, when you compromise with Satan, he won't leave you alone. He's coming back. He wants more. He wants more. He's a hard taskmaster, just like the Egyptians were over the Israelites. They worked them and worked them and then worked them some more. Satan will do that. If you give in to Satan, if you yield to temptation, he's going to come back with more. And he's going to want more and more and more until he wants to own you. But praise the Lord, when he did come back, Hezekiah wised up and he went to the one true and living God for help. So here are the lessons. Trouble comes to good. Trouble comes to bad people. But the good people, brethren, have God with them when it comes. Second lesson, don't compromise with Satan. He'll always want more. Don't do it. Next lesson. When trouble comes, be found, brethren, in a practically righteous state. Be found, brethren, having done the right thing. Be found serving God. Don't be found away from God, brethren, when the trouble comes. Be found like Hezekiah in a righteous state, practically righteous. When trouble comes, brethren, take it before God. Don't fall to pieces. Don't go to the world for help. Take it just like Hezekiah did. You take it right to the temple. You take it right to God and you lay it out before God. And then when trouble comes, brethren, you pray to God like Hezekiah did. You pray to God. You ask him to help you. When trouble comes, brethren, if you're found to be serving the one true and living God and you take it to God, brethren, he's going to be with you. He's going to bless you. He'll either deliver you from the trouble or he'll deliver you in it, one or the other. Just like the three Hebrew children, they could have been burned up. They could have been incinerated. God's sovereign. He can do what he wants. He could have delivered them in the trouble to heaven, but he chose to deliver them from the trouble, from Nebuchadnezzar. Psalm 46 says this, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." That's Psalm 46. Take it to God. He's with you and he will hear you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman, boy, or girl availeth much. God will deliver. I'm going to finish right here with Psalm 46. I'm just going to read it. It's 11 verses and I'll close. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged." Sennacherib was raging against Jerusalem and Hezekiah. "The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. And he was, wasn't he? I will be exalted in the earth. Last verse. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. One thing Hezekiah said to the people is, God's with us. God is with us, and God will deliver us. One thing Sennacherib said is, your God won't deliver you. And he said to the people directly, he tried to talk to the Israelites. He said, don't let Hezekiah lead you into starving to death, because I'm here to conquer you. Hezekiah says, our God will bless us and deliver us. And he did. Oh God, bless us to be found serving you when trouble comes. Bless us when trouble comes to go straight to you, lay it before you in prayer and giving it to you, knowing, Lord, that you'll deliver us either in it or from it. Either way, you're the one true and living God, the ruler of all. We give you praise for it. I thank you, Father, for this lesson. I pray that I rightly divided your word. I pray that, Lord, I and every one of us, when we face trouble, will apply it, will remember this and use it, oh God, to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren, as we close the service. If you're not a member of the body here and you want to be, and you have that opportunity to come and make that request known. You'll be received in any way the gospel authorizes. As we stand and sing this last hymn, and it's hymn number 273. I am thine, O Lord. Number 273. To sing all the verses.